out anything from so great a multitude of things equally good. Only the poor man counts his flock. Wherever you direct your gaze, you will meet with something that might stand out from the rest, if the context in which you read it were not equally notable. For this reason, give over hoping that you can skim, by means of epitomes, the wisdom of distinguished men. Look into their wisdom as a whole. Study it as a whole. They are working out a plan, and weaving together, line upon line, a masterpiece, from which nothing can be taken away without injury to the whole. Examine the separate parts, if you like, provided you examine them as parts of the man himself. She is not a beautiful woman whose ankle or arm is praised, but she whose general appearance makes you forget to admire her single attributes. If you insist, however, I shall not be niggardly with you, but lavish, for there is a huge multitude of these passages. They are scattered about in profusion. They do not need to be gathered together, but merely to be picked up. They do not drip forth occasionally. They flow continuously. They are unbroken and are closely connected. Doubtless, they would be of much benefit to those who are still novices and worshipping outside the shrine, for single maxims sink in more easily when they are marked off and bounded like a line of verse. That is why we give to children a proverb, or that which the Greeks call kyria, to be learned by heart. That sort of thing can be comprehended by the young mind, which cannot as yet hold more. For a man, however, whose progress is definite, to chase after choice extracts and to prop his weakness by the best known and the briefest sayings, and to depend upon his memory, is disgraceful. It is time for him to lean on himself. He should make such maxims, and not memorize them. For it is disgraceful even for an old man, or one who has sighted old age, to have a notebook knowledge. This is what Zeno said. But what have you yourself said? This is the opinion of Cleanthes. But what is your own opinion? How long shall you march under another man's orders? Take command, and utter some word which posterity will remember. Put forth something from your own stock. For this reason, I hold that there is nothing of eminence in all such men as these, who never create anything themselves, but always lurk in the shadow of others, playing the role of interpreters, never daring to put once into practice what they have been so long in learning. They have exercised their memories on other men's material. But it is one thing to remember, another to know. Remembering is merely safeguarding something entrusted to the memory. Knowing, however, means making everything your own. It means not depending upon the copy, and not all the time glancing back at the master. Thus said Zeno. Thus said Cleanthes, indeed. Let there be a difference between yourself and your book. How long shall you be a learner? From now on, be a teacher as well. But why, one asks, should I have to continue hearing lectures on what I can read? The living voice, one replies, is a great help. Perhaps. But not the voice which merely makes itself the mouthpiece of another's words, and only performs the duty of a reporter. Consider this fact also. Those who have never attained their mental independence begin, in the first place, by following the leader in cases where everyone has deserted the leader. Then, in the second place, they follow him in matters where the truth is still being investigated. However, the truth will never be discovered if we rest contented with discoveries already made. Besides, he who follows another not only discovers nothing, but is not even investigating. What then? Shall I not follow in the footsteps of my predecessors? I shall indeed use the old road. But if I find one that makes a shorter cut and is smoother to travel, I shall open the new road. Men who have made these discoveries before us are not our masters, but our guides. Truth lies open for all. it has not yet been monopolized, and there is plenty of it left, even for posterity to discover. Farewell. Letter 34. On a Promising Pupil. I grow in spirit and leap for joy, and shake off my years, and my blood runs warm again, whenever I understand, from your actions and your letters, how far you have outdone yourself. For as to the ordinary man, you left him in the rear long ago. If the farmer is pleased when his tree develops so that it bears fruit, if the shepherd takes pleasure in the increase of his flocks, if every man regards his pupil as though he discerned in him his own early manhood, what then, do you think are the feelings of those who have trained a mind and molded a young idea when they see it suddenly grown to maturity? I claim you for myself. You are my handiwork. When I saw your abilities, I laid my hand upon you. I exhorted you. I applied the goad and did not permit you to march lazily, but roused you continually. And now I do the same. But by this time I am cheering on one who is in the race, and so in turn cheers me on. What else do you want of me, then? You ask. The will is still mine. Well, the will in this case is almost everything, and not merely the half, as in the proverb, a task once begun is half done. It is more than half, for the matter of which we speak is determined by the soul. Hence, it is that the larger part of goodness is the will to become good. You know what I mean by a good man, one who is complete, finished, whom no constraint or need can render bad. I see such a person in you, if only you go steadily on and bend to your task, and see to it that all your actions and words harmonize and correspond with each other and are stamped in the same mold. If a man's acts are out of harmony, his soul is crooked. Farewell. Letter 35. On the Friendship of Kindred Minds. When I urge you so strongly to your studies, it is my own interest which I am consulting. I want your friendship, and it cannot fall to my lot unless you proceed, as you have begun, with the task of developing yourself. For now, although you love me, you are not yet my friend. But, you reply, are these words of different meaning?